This episode of the Consulting Pipeline Podcast is brought to you by me, Philip Morgan. I, some time ago, felt an overwhelming urge to be able to demonstrate to folks what I think an effective lead generation site looks like. And so I created a site it's a real site online that you can access. You can go to the URL onepageleadgen.site and see what I'm talking about. It's not a real site in that it's not like my webpage or it's not a site for a company. It's a sort of hybrid template that you can download and set up yourself on WordPress, or just sort of look at the structure of it and use that as inspiration for your own website. So if that sounds interesting, take a look at onepageleadgen.site. The URL for that is a little bit funky in that it's the number one, like the numeral one on the keyboard, not O-N-E, but the numeral one, pageleadgen.site. So onepageleadgen.site. Check that out if you're interested in seeing a suggested approach to focusing your site on one job only, which is generating leads for your business. I've got a quick question from the mailbag here. No, I don't have anybody to attribute this to because it's a form that I send people to after they buy something from me. And I don't ask for an email address because I really want people to feel comfortable telling me anything. And so here's a question that I think is pretty interesting and I would like to touch on briefly today. The question says, is positioning bigger than defining a horizontal plus vertical space to focus on and specialize in? What's the role of copy, taglines, slogans, etc.? Great question. There's really two ways to look at this. One is sort of on the theoretical level, and then the other is on the more practical level. So let's start with the theoretical level. Is positioning bigger than defining a horizontal and vertical space to focus on and specialize in? Yes, it does incorporate other elements. The second part of the question, what's the role of copy, taglines, slogans, etc.? Those all need to support and align with your positioning rather than contradict or dilute it. The classical definition of positioning is owning a word in the mind. It comes from Al Reese. He wrote a book in the late 70s, early 80s, I think, on positioning. And the idea of owning a word in the mind really means simplifying and deciding to emphasize one aspect of your product or service. In Al's case, he was writing largely about products. And so if you read his book, you'll see a lot of examples of, you know, big sort of Fortune 500 products from the 70s and 80s. And so the concept of owning a word in the mind really, I think, is more relevant to products. But for now, let's just go with that as our sort of working definition of positioning. So is it bigger than deciding on a horizontal or a vertical to focus on? Is it bigger than just specializing? And again, theoretically, yes, it is. So positioning also includes things like pricing and other attributes that you may choose to emphasize or de-emphasize for your service offering. Now, the thing is, it's a lot easier to reduce a product. I mean, it's not easy, but it's easier to reduce a product down to a simple single word or phrase. Classical example would be Volvo. For many years, Volvo was quite disciplined in their positioning in that they wanted people to have one overriding impression of their cars, which was safe. So in the world of professional services, it doesn't quite work the same way. So functionally in the world of professional services, positioning really tends to mean specializing, because it's almost assumed that specialization is going to be a route or a means to an end that you use to achieve premium rates for your services and develop a lot of demand for your services. So it's a little different there. But again, we're talking theoretically here. And we're just trying to answer the simple question, is positioning bigger than just specializing? Sure. Yeah, it includes things like pricing and what's the experience like of working with you. And in that way, it starts to overlap a little bit with, I think if you ask someone who's a, you know, branding expert, they would be saying stuff that's actually quite similar. So the role of copy, taglines, slogans, etc., theoretically, it's just to support your positioning, to reinforce it, and to not contradict it at all. So if you're trying to position yourself as, you know, the sort of go-to solution for a certain type of company, and that company expects you to be very buttoned up and professional, and your copy is very sloppy and casual and informal, that would be something that would contradict or work against your positioning. So on the theoretical level, that's my answer. Now, practically, this is why in the pre-roll for the show, I mentioned onepagelegion.site. Practically, and I'm going to really have to try not to come across as too harsh here, but the truth is most of y'all suck at doing any of this stuff, copy, taglines, slogans, etc. I am focusing mostly on the sort of online presence that you might see a self-employed software developer create, or a small, you know, dev shop. I mean, to be honest, you see this all over the place. It's an epidemic as far as I'm concerned. And I'm really, again, just trying to be like kind but firm in how I say this. Most of you screw it up. You write copy that's self-indulgent, that's focused on the wrong things. You create websites that are meant to dazzle with perhaps their usage of, you know, visual design, but they don't really reinforce that in the copy. And so I got to say, I sympathize and I understand, because there's so many ways to screw up a website. And I think there's only one way to get it right, which is to make it all about the problems and needs of your ideal client. And, you know, and also to make it very clear. And if necessary, I think one of the, or not if necessary, practically one of the easiest ways to do that is to do less on your website and do more with things that happen over time, like email marketing, or, you know, periodically involving your audience or the type of people that you're trying to attract as clients, periodically showing up in their world in trusted venues like conference speaking or podcast guesting or that sort of thing. So in other words, what I'm saying on the practical level, and maybe I'm just using this person's question as an excuse to rant, I'm not quite sure, to be honest. But again, the role of copy, taglines, and slogans, etc., should be to support your positioning, but there's so many ways to screw it up and start making your copy, you know, if your positioning is, you know, we help this type of client solve this type of problem, great. There's so many ways, though, to send a different message accidentally in your website copy. So I'll just leave you with one tip that I hope is helpful. Maybe it's easier said than done, but still I think it's very helpful. In your website copy, this is not so true in taglines and slogans, which honestly I think for most like software developers are completely unnecessary. But so talking really about your website copy here, look for every opportunity to have your clients, current and past, speak for you. That's it's a simple one thing you can do, one thing that you can change next time you are updating your website or creating a new website or refreshing it or what have you. Look for every single opportunity for your actual clients to speak for you, and in a way that supports your positioning and in a way that reinforces whatever message it is you're trying to get across with your website. And personally, I think the message your website should get across is, it's a little more complex in reality than this, but basically, we're experts with this thing. Why don't you join our email list? Like, if I could boil down what I think is the most effective website to just one thing, it would be that. Anyway, just to summarize very quickly, on the theoretical level, positioning is pretty much about everything you do, and it all needs to be focused in a way that creates one singular, simple sort of impression that people can know you by. But in reality, it's a little more complicated than that, and I would suggest just do whatever you can to let your client speak for you. If you, dear listener, have a question you'd like me to tackle on air, phone it in at 707-204-0717.